B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, the Moxley Asylum is open for business. Bill Goldberg is returning, as is a Saudi Arabia show. How important is All Elite Wrestling to the future of pro wrestling? And a few other things we'll kind of throw in there. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, John Moxley, who WWE fans know as Dean Ambrose, opened up a Twitter account, or he revised an old Twitter account, blue check mark verified, which is very important, and attached a video to a tweet that came out at midnight, which is when his WWE contract expired. The video, yep, as best I can describe, is a throwback to when Moxley was in CZW and working the indies. The video itself, you see Moxley forcibly breaking through a brick wall inside a prison, escaping from the guards and dogs. He jumps a fence. He grabs barbed wire as he makes his way down. Clips of him training are shown, and he's seen wrapping barbed wire around his fist. The word Mox then appears on the screen. First question to you, Mike.
Yeah.
Is this WWE rebranding Dean Ambrose as John Moxley?
No. I think it's John Moxley going to AEW. And I think that it's him or another promotion. I'm not exactly sure, but if I were a betting man, I'd say AEW. And I think it's also, a metaphor or him saying that, like, he's releasing the shackles from being under the control of WWE. He is, a free guy. He's free. So I don't think I think he's done with WWE. That's my initial thought.
I don't think it is his rebranding of WWE either. I think it's very well produced.
Yeah, it is.
And it's notable that WWE has done everything right in wishing him well. Mm-hmm. He wins in his last match, something Kurt Angle could not do. They wished the real name person well in his future endeavors. And his Twitter account has a blue check mark. So those are kind of theories, because to get a blue check mark now, you need to be affiliated with a company. A well-known company, because the Twitter police have stopped handing out blue check marks to scrubs like me.
Well, yeah, I have one too, as you know. However, the other big thing too is that, you know, Renee Young here, she's still under contract. And we've seen this before with, you know, spouses that leave, i.e. CM Punk, not too far out the door was AJ Lee after he took off. And she's still got a great spot on Monday Night Raw. So I think that's another major question mark. Maybe he is still in the WWE, but I think that, you know, he had such a good relationship with the company that he's going to do what he wants. And Renee Young, she's pretty valuable right now to the company to stay there instead of hit the road.
So I think he's done with WWE for now. Yeah. Many people like yourself, and I kind of assume that he will be at All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing.
Yep.
He lives in Las Vegas. And again, that video was very well produced. That's not something that you produce on an iPhone, I don't think.
No.
It was professionally produced. And that's something that maybe this is the start of All Elite Wrestling being like, oh, we can produce videos too. Mm-hmm. I will tell you this. I did a little digging today.
Yep.
At least one company, not All Elite Wrestling, has reached out to John Moxley to see if he's available. And the response I got back was his price is very high.
Hmm.
So if I had to guess, He'll do some indie shots, kind of like when Cody Rhodes initially got let go from the WWE.
Yeah.
And in the end, he'll probably go to the highest bidder if he wants to work full time. I'm not convinced that he does want to work full time, but that is just a guess. That is not informed speculation or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interest, as far as I can tell, from people that I interacted with today. Mm-hmm. And there should be. The Dean Ambrose character did really well for WWE. So here's my next question.
Yeah. Go ahead. I mean, similar to you, from what I was also told, too, some behind the scenes stuff with Dean Ambrose attitude over the last year or so, he wasn't a little on edge, I guess, more or less. Contract situation, and I think he wanted to be in a specific spot where he was not. So it seemed like that's why I'm leaning more toward that he's definitely out of WWE. He's, you know, not upset with how he was placed, but I think he was not super happy with how the placement of him was. So that's why I think he is definitely not going to be getting a paycheck from Stamford, Connecticut anytime soon.
So, Mike, we can do the follow-up on that. Because
let's hear it. Yeah, let's go.
You remember what do they call it? It's like Behind the Ropes, or they do this Chronicle. That's what it is. It's WWE Chronicle on the network.
Yep.
Dean Ambrose was playing the character, kind of, but he also had a lot of, like, why are you here? Why are you here with my training rehab? I'm frustrated. I really don't want to do this. I don't want to turn on Seth Rollins. He was doing all that in these character chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't necessarily a secret that he wasn't thrilled with his spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something that I have heard as you were speaking.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, here's my next question. If All Elite Wrestling does get Jon Moxley, is that a game changer for them?
I don't think it's going to like be, you know, NWO-esque Hulk Hogan turning heel or, you know, taking over the ratings. I think it helps, but I don't think it's a major game changer.
Go ahead.
Do you think so? Yeah, I just think, listen, I like Dean Ambrose. I really do. But I think if they want a real game changer, you'd need someone maybe more along the lines of how they were booked the last couple of years, AJ Styles. We know we got pulled. We talked about this, Undertaker. Just talking hypothetical
scenario.
Mike,
I think there's only one game changer for All Elite Wrestling right now.
What do you got?
John Cena, and that's John Cena as a villain.
As a villain?
Right? And here's why I say that. Is when WCW got Hulk Hogan, they had an initial bump.
Huge.
And then that kind of died off.
Yep.
And then what got a lot of people interested in WCW was Hulk Hogan as a villain. Because they don't remember 1980 when he was a villain managed by Classy Freddie Blassie. They remember Hulk Hogan storming into Madison Square Garden, beating the Iron Sheik for the championship, slamming Andre the Giant, mega powers explode, all that Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, wow, he's a bad guy now? Oh, I gotta see this.
In a parallel, you know, kind of he was the same age as John Cena when he turned heel.
Yep. So. But I don't think John Cena will ever leave WWE, but that's
no, I don't
just
either.
An opinion.
Yeah.
So to answer
Vince McMahon's tweet on him last week, forget that.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
To answer my own question, I don't think he's a game changer, but if All Elite Wrestling ends up with Jon Moxley, it's a few giant steps in the right direction. And why.
It's a shot in the arm.
All Elite Wrestling, realistically, is going to be made or broken based on its television deal, how it markets itself. And we won't have the scorecard on that for a few years. But here's where Jon Moxley is in that right direction. What he brings, what he potentially could bring to All Elite Wrestling is a different style. And that is the hardcore brawling style because much of the roster, with the exception of a few matches from Chris Jericho, who does some brawling in this new incarnation of Chris Jericho.
Yep.
You've got Cody, who's a ring psychologist. You have the Bucks, Kenny Omega, the Lucha Brothers. They're all high flyers. Mm-hmm. And the Lucha Brothers aren't on the same star tier as the names I mentioned previous. But what you'll have is that WWE considers itself a variety show, I think. Yep. And All Elite Wrestling is going to be more character-based, I think.
Yeah.
So what you have is you have a drastically different style of character in Jon Moxley, in the same way that when the Attitude Era was going on, you had Steve Austin, redneck from Texas, who didn't take crap from anybody. You have The Rock, who is this larger-than-life Hollywood persona, speaks in the third person. And then you have Mankind, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, Mick Foley, who is this hardcore icon and yep. can really wrestle any different style that you need him to and make it work. And I think that's what you'll end up with Jon Moxley. And it's something worth noting, and this is another reason why I think WWE was so polite to him on his way out.
Yeah,
he hit all of their metrics.
He did.
He sold T-shirts. The kids liked him. The adults liked him. And he stayed clean. Mm-hmm. Even if he was disgruntled, that never got out publicly.
Right.
That never, outside of the Chronicle thing, which was worked, shoot, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the exception. But when Roman had it, when Roman got popped for his drugs, they went to Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Because he fit all of their specific qualifications. And while he didn't have a strong run as WWE champion, he did have a run with the WWE championship.
Correct.
And that is something worth mentioning. You know, people didn't like his match with Brock Lesnar in Dallas. Yeah. But what I will tell you is wrestling Brock Lesnar is a big spot.
Huge.
And he got that. Mm-hmm. And he was usually a featured performer on a show. Usually. You know, I mean, Orlando, things got messed around a little bit when he was the Intercontinental Champion, and they put him on the pre-show because they realized that they couldn't do Naomi's entrance until it was dark out and da-da-da-da-da-da.
The neon lights,
but
yeah.
But generally speaking, Dean Ambrose was booked pretty well and booked in important positions. And I think that's why I think that if Jon Moxley goes to All Elite Wrestling or to Ring of Honor or to Impact, it steps in the right directions for those companies. And it's a win for those companies, and I think a big win for that for those companies. Even if he's not the game changer that Hulk Hogan is or John Cena could be or any like franchise star.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like you're talking here from hearing what you just said about, you know, doing what was asked of him for the company and having a good look. They also thought highly of him, too, like you said, with the Brock Lesnar scenario and, you know, holding the Intercontinental title. You know, also, they brought back the Shield two or three times, and it probably still would be running right now. Maybe it would have run up by WrestleMania if Roman Reigns had not had a relapse in cancer. Back in the fall. So I think that is another thing that they knew they could sell T-shirts. They knew it was a powerful faction. And to have him, you know, teamed up with now the current Universal Champion and a potential WWE Champion again and Roman Reigns, a multiple-time champion, that is a big deal. And Dean Ambrose was also a champion at one point too. And for the AEW style, where I don't see WWE currently, right now, at this stage of the game, being traditional, I think we can both agree to that. And when I say traditional, I'm saying, you know, it's not your glitz and glamour, just straight up an old-fashioned match, a little bit of talk, but not much. But you know who the one champion is. You know that they're the top guy right there to take down. And right now, I mean, listen, Seth Rollins, I don't see that in him. Becky Lynch, okay, I do, but I don't see that in Seth Rollins. I don't see that in Kofi Kingston. I think that those two guys are fairly easy to take down. I think where AEW can cash in on that flaw for WWE right now is maybe get a guy like Dean Ambrose and have him have a good run with, say, the first ever AEW World Heavyweight title. Just a thought.
So one of the things to follow up on your who you think is a champion comment.
I guess right? You're thinking,
Noah. Who I go to, historically, WWE has been a promo company. They talk you into the building, right?
Hey, listen,
Hogan, Cena, The Rock, Steve Austin. They're all characters who can... I've asked this before. Paul Heyman is the best promo in the company. We agree?
Tremendous.
Who is the best wrestler promo in the company? The answer is Kevin Owens, in my opinion.
Right now, at this very moment?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd put Kevin Owens up there. Maybe AJ Styles?
The problem is that AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, they're not 6'8", blonde hair,
size.
303 pounds, and that's why Brock Lesnar kept getting the Universal titles, because he had Paul and he had the look.
Yeah.
And I think that WWE right now is missing the person who can talk them into the building. That's something that All Elite Wrestling has to find as well.
Exactly.
Because if you look down, I have this discussion with Billy Lanny, who produces the Felger and Maz show with me all the time.
Great guy.
And if you look at the current run of champions right now, it's Seth Rollins, who might be 230. On a good day, he's 230. Kofi Kingston, on a good day, he's 230. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they look like they're 205 live guys.
Yep.
Daniel Bryan was just the WWE champion. He's not even 200 pounds.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the things. And their promos, from a psychological point of view, might make all the sense in the world. But especially with us, we grew up with Hulk Hogan, say your prayers, eat your vitamins. And boy, did Hulk Hogan take a lot of vitamins.
Oh, yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior, who had all this energy. You couldn't understand him, but you bought into it, or most of us did.
Yeah.
I hated The Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. I cried when Hulk Hogan lost to Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
One of the few times I've cried in my life. But the point is that you had these larger-than-life characters who could talk you into the building. And what you have right now is you have
Undertaker,
a bunch of 205 live guys, as Billy would call them, and they can't cut promos on that level.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Jimmy, what about Braun Strowman? I mean, here he was a couple years ago.
They gave him the microphone in December or January, and he failed.
I know, but still, you can cash in on the size.
And this is another problem, right?
Well, for Paul Heyman with him.
Well, so this is another problem. And this is something that I've talked to many people about. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be having anybody do more than 3-minute promos.
Yes, it's too long.
And that I think is a problem, is that you're overexposing your talent, because you shouldn't be sending people out there to do 10, 15, 20-minute promos.
But I think you have to, in the case of Monday Night Raw. They don't have a choice because of 3 hours.
No, you can. So one of the things that we grew up on was squash matches, right? And you'd have little promo in the corner that would run 30 to 60 seconds.
True.
And you would have a focus, and we're coming to this live event, and we're going to do this, and we're going after Championship X. And that's something that the WWE could do more of.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need Alexa Bliss out there for 20 minutes to announce 4 competitors for the Money in the Bank match.
Way too long.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that they need to do is, because they're not going to shorten the shows because they make too much money off it, but they need to find a way to quicken the pace on the shows. And I don't know how you do that. There's also another element, and that is the carryover of matches through commercial breaks.
Yes.
If we're supposed to believe that this is an athletic contest, and maybe we're not, maybe we're just supposed to understand that this is entertainment. Do pro sports go to commercials while action is still going on?
No.
Do you watch a football game and, hey, you know what? We're in the middle of a play. We're in the middle of a Patriots drive right now, but we're going to go to commercial. No.
But now, do you think that could ever happen? That actually could.
Well, so I think what they're trying to do, they're trying to implement pitcher-in-pitcher.
Yeah.
Whereas you still have the live action, but you're getting the sponsorship X in a box that's in a two box.
Right, and which we see on SmackDown every
which
week.
Is what SmackDown tries to do, is they put the commercial break in a box that's bigger than the action that's going on live.
Correct.
Which they shouldn't do. I understand why they're trying to do it. They're trying to dip their toes in both waters, but
right.
it's more confusing to the performer. I had a conversation with a performer maybe about a year ago.
Yep.
About the two box and the difficulty of understanding, am I in a commercial break? Am I in a two box where I still have to do some things? Or
right.
it's confusing to the talent as it is to the viewer.
Yep.
And it's just something that they shouldn't do, but they're trying. They're trying to balance out both worlds. But yep. what they should do is do the entrance to one other thing that they should do, and this is television production.
Mm-hmm.
Set up the entire show at the beginning of the show. Start out with Michael Cole or Brandon Phillips, Tony Phillips, Tom Phillips,
Tom
Adam Kaufman Light.
And love that one.
Of course I do, because I came up with it. And have him tell us what's coming up. Hey, we're going to see Kofi Kingston do this tonight. We're going to see Kevin
Set
Owens do this.
Set the scene.
Because then people who tune in at the top of the hour, at the top yeah. of the show, are like, okay, well, if I know that this is coming up, it's the old set the appointment thing, right?
Right.
And you'll know when to come back, or you'll know to keep coming back. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's all these things that worked in TV and radio, they still work. It's
yeah.
human psychology. It still works.
They're getting a little too creative.
And instead, because it's, you're there for the brand, mm-hmm. that's what they want you to think, is you're there for the brand, and maybe you are. Maybe
right.
you'll just loyally look at WrestleMania every year. It sells out before a match is even announced, or it comes close to selling out.
Right.
Travel packages sell out 6-8 months in advance because, well, WWE's doing WrestleMania and I want to go to this city and
it's
a good show. And although
it's a destination.
As much as I enjoyed WrestleMania, mm-hmm. too long. And that was a common complaint. So we'll see if they do a 7-hour WrestleMania next year in Tampa. I don't think that they will.
No, I hope it gets down to at least 4, maybe 5.
4 is good. 4 is what it should be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be 5. Any more than 4.
I can survive a 5, but that's still pushing it.
In the same way that the non-big pay-per-view should be 3.
Exactly.
And this is something else. Like, Money in the Bank is going to be 4 hours. That's a show I think should be 4 hours. Battleground, Backlash, Stomping
Three
Grounds,
hours.
Great Balls of Fire, 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
SummerSlam.
Backlash.
I'll give you 4 hours. I'll give you 4 hours for SummerSlam. I'll give you 4 hours for Survivor Series. I'll give you 4 hours for Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving you 5. I'm not giving you 6. I'm not giving you 7.
Yeah.
I gave you 7 once. I'm good. I've done that once.
Way too long.
So that's, and that's something that, bringing this back to All Elite Wrestling, that's something that I think that they understand. And this was going to be a bigger picture. We were going to do a show with all non-WWE topics. That got thrown out the window because I had a mental day on Monday. And so one of the things that All Elite Wrestling has done in 2 videos that took 15 minutes of my life mm-hmm. is they got me to invest in a Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes match.
It's great.
And it was a very simple story of 2 brothers who grew up together, have this history in wrestling, and guess what? They're going to fight.
Yep.
I can understand that because you know what? And I'm an only child. I'm a spoiled, rotten only child. Mike, you have brothers, right?
I got 2 younger brothers. I'm the oldest of 3, so I had to share my toys.
So you fight with them, right?
Oh, we had World War 3.
Okay. So you can relate to Cody versus Dustin, right?
Oh,
because you fight with your brother.
Of course, brothers.
In the same way that we all could relate to Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon, because we all have that boss who we think is a jerk and we want to flip him off every day. And you know what? Absolutely. Steve Austin got to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why we liked him so much, or one of the reasons why we liked him so much.
Absolutely.
But yep. It's simple it's simple character-based stories. And if All Elite Wrestling is going to succeed, they're going to do that based on characters and stories that are simple to understand, and you're not overthinking it. And they had me invested. Dustin is out of WWE. Here's why he wants to fight Cody. And then Cody's response. Mm-hmm. Boom. Match done.
And that's a great promo. It's short and sweet. You're invested. You know, you just said how they caught you, and that's it. It's perfect. It's nothing, not a lot of bells and whistles. Good build up. I'm invested. I cannot wait for it. I'm looking forward to it too.
And you know the thing about it too is just
in fact, right after that, I subscribed to Fight TV because of that.
Boom. There you go.
Yeah. So they got me.
So one of the things, like, we're hardcores, right?
Yeah.
So I can look at Money in the Bank coming up, and we're going to do a whole preview show on Money in the Bank. You know, I'll text Joe Murray, and you know, we'll have him as a third man in gambling odds, all that stuff.
It's going to be fun.
Joe Murray's a draw on this show.
He is.
Money in the Bank is right around the corner, and there are three matches that I don't need the story for. Kevin Owens versus Kofi, Charlotte versus Becky, AJ versus Seth Rollins. Those are matches on paper I want to see. I don't need a story for it, but I'm a hardcore. Mm-hmm. But WWE week-to-week storylines needs to get the non-hardcores invested in these matches.
Yep.
And that's where they have their issues. AJ smacking Seth Rollins in the face. I liked it. I like filling AJ. I want to see more of it. He's a pit bull. He wants something. He's going to go get it. Good, because they needed something other than a spectator match.
Absolutely.
Which was what AJ and Nakamura was.
And it was, a major, major letdown.
Right? Charlotte and Becky have a...
going to work.
6-year storyline going. I still want to see that match. I think that's one of the better matches that they have. Mm-hmm. And I think they have to make up for their fast lane match, because I think they were put in a bad spot for the fast lane match. And we'll see if they do that. And then Kofi versus KO is probably a match that I've seen before, but I don't have a memory of it. And this time it's for the WWE Championship. And
a lot in the line.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And
should be good.
And so in the same way that Double or Nothing is in mid-May, I think. And
Memorial Day weekend.
It's May 24th, 25th, 23rd, something like that. I'd love to do a day trip to Vegas, but I can't do it. I think on paper it looks great. It's got Cody versus Dustin, which we talked about a little bit. The Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers, which will be fabulous. And Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho, their second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
All on paper looks good. The Bucks have a simple story with the Lucha Brothers. The Young Bucks walk into Mexico. They take the titles in an impromptu matchup. Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho have a story that comes off of their New Japan match. This is their rematch. Best in the world versus the person who wants to change the world. Very simple. That's what All Elite Wrestling has to do, is keep it simple and keep people invested.
Short and sweet. Less is more. That's all you need. You're absolutely right.
And one other thing for All Elite Wrestling, mm-hmm. is they need to understand that they're coming from the bottom up. Not everybody knows who they are.
Right.
And just because you have X amount of YouTube subscribers and X amount of YouTube views doesn't mean that you can still draw money.
Yep.
Right? Like, I think Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend, Chicago.
That was you're doing a pay-per-view? Oh, well, you've been really good to us, so we're going to fly into Chicago, and we like Chicago, and we're going to support you for this.
Yep.
Vegas, I don't think, has been as hot for the second go-around.
No.
And maybe that's a timing thing, because everybody planned to go to WrestleMania, and then this show came up, and they're like, oh, but we love Vegas, but we're not sure. Maybe we can write you a rain check?
Well, the other thing, too, with Vegas, Jimmy, I mean, you've never been there, right?
I have not. It's on my to-do list.
Okay, it's a great city. I love it there. One of my favorite places in the world. I mean, you know, they're not stupid there. The people of Las Vegas are not stupid. So the hotel rates go up a little bit, like right now through probably October, because it's pool season. It's really warm there. And Memorial Day weekend, they're going to cash in on that. So it's a little pricier considering the longer three-day weekend for everybody. And maybe it's a little expensive to get out there too with the flights and so forth. So I think that's a big factor too. It's not the cheapest time to get out there.
I got a guy in Vegas, if you're interested, if you want to go to StarCast, that's StarCast.com. They might have some travel packages available for you. And you're welcome, Conrad.
I will be talking to you off the air, Mr. James Stewart.
Yeah, Conrad's got the hookup. You go to StarCast and they'll give you discounts.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Just one more thing with the AEW, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
You know, what we're talking about here, big thing, you know, obviously shorter programs. That's the meat and potatoes of it. We're talking about, you know, good quality. And I think back to the Dean Ambrose comment, the whole sort of conversation here, it's a chance for them to rebuild themselves and build their own particular character. And I think that's what we might be seeing here firsthand with Dean Ambrose to Jon Moxley. Totally different, you know, free of who he once was. So I think that's another huge opportunity for AEW to cash in, for the performer to have their own particular character built upon it.
What would be funny is if Jon Moxley actually chose Ring of Honor, Impact, or New
it
Japan.
Might happen. Yeah,
or he's just like, you know what, I'm just going to work indies for a year and, you know, you can take your big companies and stick it. But I think just to wrap up a little bit of the AEW conversation, I think fans at least want a strong number two.
Yeah.
And even if that number two is miles and miles away from WWE, because at this point, nobody's going to touch WWE.
No, it's too powerful.
Well, it's they make too much. They're too big to fail.
Yeah.
Right. Financially, they're too big to fail. Mm-hmm. And even if they get 2,000 people at a house show at TD Garden, they don't care because they'll just take wrestlers off the roster and save some travel expenses. And, oh, Raw's coming back. And, oh, you know what? Gronk retired. So we're gonna act like Rob Gronkowski's coming to the show. And they sell out, you know, they sell a good portion of walk-up tickets that day.
Right.
Because that's what it is. But at the very least, if AEW is something close to NXT, an hourly show once a week, and they sell out a big show every 4 to 6 months, they'll be okay. They'll be fine. In that category of Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact Wrestling. They'll have a long tenure here.
Yeah, and you know, we've said it before many times, Rome was not built in a day. So.
Exactly. And one of the things, too, like with the independent scene is just really the importance of I don't mean this as poorly as it come across, but second tier wrestling promotions, right?
Right, right.
Like Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact. You know, the NWA is trying to build a resurgence, and they have Nick Aldis as their world's champion.
Yes.
And you might remember him as Magnus in TNA. And he's got a great look, and he's really great on commentary. He's done a lot of commentary on Ring of Honor shows. Ring of Honor just broadcast their Crockett Cup for Honor Club members this last Saturday night. Fabulous show. They did a tag team tournament. They crowned new NWA champions, tag team champions, a women's champion, a North American champion, all this stuff. And the NWA is trying to make a resurgence.
Sure.
And they had the Rock and Roll Express there and the Midnight Express and Tommy Young, who's the longtime referee, and all this great thing. And they did a really great job.
Yep.
It was in front of 500 people or 1,000 people. And that's kind of, and you know, the...
It's a letdown.
The seven people, including myself, who are Honor Club members, and I know there's more than that.
Right.
But the point is that All Elite Wrestling can do that. They can be Ring of Honor. They can be Impact, who has this little niche audience. But I think that they've got the investment where they can be more than that, and they should be more than that. It's going to take a while, and hopefully they will gamble right. And if that's on a Turner Broadcast Network, and even if they have to pay for it, like, it's fine. As long as you have that exposure.
Well, we know that there are fans out there, and we know there are frustrated WWE fans, and we saw that firsthand and heard it firsthand the night after WrestleMania with the main event of Monday Night Raw, AEW, the chance at the Barclays Center. So there are people ready and hungry for this. You saw it in New York, Jimmy. I saw numerous AEW hats and t-shirts from many fans. So they're ready for a change, and change is good, and competition is always what's best.
So, and with that, you have the generational aspect of it, right? So WCW challenged WWE because it had generational stars like Flair and Sting and Luger, all these names that people knew for, well, a generation.
Right.
So it's going to take a while for them to get there, and maybe they don't get there. And one of the things, too, is it's been out there that ratings are down for WWE, television ratings,
yeah.
And we detailed it a little bit.
Well, you saw Raw's for Monday, right?
Yep. Yep, it's down.
Not good.
And something else that I don't think helps the WWE's cause is they still have this deal with Saudi Arabia. And the show's going to be on June 7th. It's going to be on the network. 8 wrestlers have been advertised for this event. Brock Lesnar, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman, Kofi Kingston, Undertaker, Roman Reigns, and Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
Bill Goldberg. Who, by the way, I think had what could have been his best farewell match against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in Orlando and doesn't need to do another one.
No.
One of the more underrated matches in WrestleMania history, because that was a car crash match of 5 or 6 minutes. Just good stuff. Just good, makes sense stuff. Yep. So now Bill Goldberg's back because presumably they can't get The Rock. Batista's retired. This person doesn't want to do it. This person, they can't afford $24 million for The Rock, or he doesn't want to do it, or I don't know. I'm going to watch. You're going to watch the Saudi show. Yep. Part of it's the job, and part of it is we like wrestling, and we'd watch it. Yep. So of the names that I listed, who do you want to see Goldberg fight? And the answer, by the way, could be nobody listed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Brock Lesnar. You didn't mention The Undertaker, right?
I did mention The Undertaker.
Okay, so when hosts aren't listening, sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe Undertaker, because we've seen Brock Lesnar, but I like Goldberg, but I don't care to see him fight again. I really don't. If I don't see him ever wrestle again in the squared circle, I'm not losing sleep over that.
Goldberg Taker would be a mess, right? But I'd want to watch that mess. Goldberg Brock would be fine. They could just essentially redo their match in Orlando if they wanted.
But
Goldberg versus Roman, I'm interested in that one.
And Roman Reigns does all the work.
Yeah, because Roman Reigns do all the work against Undertaker, and that was what it was.
Cena's not going to do this match. He's not going to go to the pay-per-view.
Well, he's already made a stand because he didn't go to the last one.
Right, with the...
So he's out.
He's out. Yeah.
Goldberg versus Seth Rollins, doesn't do anything for me. Goldberg versus Braun Strowman, not really.
Yeah.
Goldberg versus AJ,
Although Goldberg Strowman's okay. I'd be okay with that.
One name that I didn't list, but since he's been on a tour to beat all the people that he couldn't beat back when he was a full-time performer, is Triple H.
I was just about to say that.
Goldberg can lose to Triple H again and just add him to the list.
Mm-hmm. I could totally see Triple H and Goldberg. Those are two big names right there.
Here's the big one. You want the big internet rumor?
Yeah.
The big internet rumor. Goldberg versus Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship.
Oh, God.
Goldberg would win, which would lead to Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. And I believe that's in Toronto.
It is in Toronto, and that's where the Survivor Series happened. You're right. However, though, if he were to beat Kofi Kingston in that scenario there, I mean, the SmackDown ratings for this week were the lowest number since the 2016 brand split as well. So maybe that would put a little injection into the life of SmackDown as well. I would not rule that that scenario out as well there to have him beat Kofi Kingston.
Well, the thing with Kofi and him being WWE champion is the fact that New Day is a draw. They sell merchandise. The kids like them. The adults respect them.
Yeah, go right back to the New Day.
That's the package.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess this would be, I think this would be WWE's argument as to why it never has a babyface sweep of WrestleMania.
Right. Right. And Goldberg, Kofi, and then have him fight Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I'd actually be okay with that. The Triple H thing, I could totally see that. I'd be all right with that too. But I'd rather see that on U.S. soil, though. I really would. But if the Prince wants those two guys in the ring together, he's going to get those two guys in the ring together. It's what's going to happen. And as far as The Undertaker goes, he's going to need a tag team match, or he's going to need a young guy to do all the work for him. He can't do one-on-one versus Kane, one-on-one versus Goldberg. Like you said, that'd be a mess. He's going to need someone to do all the work for him or a tag team match.
Well,
it's not going to work.
The problem with Taker is when you have Hunter who's like, oh, I can do 30-minute matches and tell stories.
No.
That's not the best. What Cena did with Undertaker at the New Orleans WrestleMania is the way Undertaker needs to be.
Exactly.
3 to 5 minutes, boom. Hit all the key spots, go home. Thanks for coming. Easy.
And he can bury him, too. No pun intended. But, you know, still.
But Triple H is like, no, we have to tell a story. We have to do 35 minutes. I own the company. Blah, blah, blah.
And that was a disaster with the Batista match. One of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life. Terrible.
Yep.
And the buildup was overrated, too.
Yep.
Oh, what a waste.
Yep.
So, not a fan of that, Jimmy.
Thank you. The last thing that I have in my notes is something that I absolutely hated was, but it's understandable because it's due to injury, is Matt and Jeff Hardy had to give up the SmackDown tag team titles.
Yeah.
And this came to mind. It wouldn't upset me if they left those things vacant for a while. Because your number one on your SmackDown depth chart of tag teams,
yep,
it's the Hardy Boys, and then it's a long drop down the mountain to the B team.
Well, it's no longer Gallows and Anderson because they're now on Monday Night Raw. Surprise, surprise.
The Colognes.
Ugh. Yeah, it's a very weak division right now. And
so here's what you do: you have the Raw champions float, or you just don't have SmackDown Tag Team Champions for a little bit. It's okay.
Just do what the women are doing.
Right.
Double up.
Have those float, or because SmackDown's 2 hours, don't worry about them. Don't worry about having SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Just put them on the cooler for a while, and you figure it out later.
Make you want more.
Some hodgepodge tag team just...
Right, right. And get, you know, I don't know. Do you really look at Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura as a tag team?
Nope.
Okay. Do you look at, I shouldn't say Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers. It's more just one guy with a pair of them. But, you know, Heavy Machinery. Fine. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson?
Love them.
I do too, but they're no longer on SmackDown.
Yep.
They're on Raw.
Yep.
You know, I can't.
This is the point. Leave them vacant for a while.
Yeah.
Leave them vacant for a while, or call up more NXT tag teams.
Yeah, or set up a, and then you could set up a tournament for going into SummerSlam, period. You know?
Or take tag teams from Raw and put them back on SmackDown.
Yeah, do that.
Put the Revival on SmackDown.
Right. You know, put the Bludgeon Brothers back together. You know, the New Day.
Well,
you know,
one of them's trying to get out, so I don't think that works.
I know. Well, I don't think he was not allowed to get out, though. But, you know, New Day, if Kofi Kingston is going to drop the championship belt to Goldberg potentially, then make him a tag team division again. That's all you got to do. I mean, your tag team champions earlier this year were The Miz and Shane McMahon. And now they're, you know, The Miz is on Raw, and Shane McMahon, he is not an everyday competitor. So that's a problem right
there. SmackDown went from having a great tag team division to the titles are vacant, and the best team on the roster is the B team.
Right, and that's a problem.
So
major problem.
You know what you do? You put, if Kevin Owens doesn't win the WWE Championship, and I don't know necessarily that he will or he won't.
Yeah.
Pull Sami Zayn from Raw, make them a tag team, make them the tag team champions, and then you build your division out from there.
I like that. I'd be on board with that. I'm okay with that.
You know, that's a start.
Yeah, but I do like putting him vacant and then have a tournament going into SummerSlam, too. I do like that scenario.
I actually think they should do, like, some eight-person, eight-team ladder match.
There you go. TLC.
Or, you know, bring out the Birdcage. Do another chamber match. Why not?
Yeah, do it up. Go ahead.
Do something stupid.
But it's a great build-up. It's a good draw.
I shouldn't say stupid. I should clarify and say do something gimmicky. That works better.
Whatever works. Whatever draws.
Mike, you want to promote an event before we get the go-home cue?
I do. I do. And it's coming up again on this Friday. We talked about it last week. And it's happening in Dedham, Massachusetts. It is the NCW event, the Northeast Championship 22nd anniversary. Jacob Jones, VFW, 84 Eastern Ave, Dedham. $10 available at the door or thencw.com/tickets. Former champion Brett Ryan Goslin will challenge Osiris. And the New England champion, the NCW New England champion, the ace Mike Montero defends against Riot Kellen Thomas. Bell time, 7:30, Friday, May 3rd in Dedham at the Jacob Jones VFW NCW reunion. Go out there, check it out. My man Ryan on commentary does a great job, and it's a great promotion. Check it out.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. We will talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.